Hello, everyone, and welcome to the first edition of the CBI's podcast series on international trade, export, and investment opportunities for British businesses in new markets. This is a bit of a new experiment for us as we look to educate and inform our member base about how their business can take advantage of the global marketplace. My name is John Bleed, and I work as a senior policy advisor in the CBI's international trade team and am based in Washington, D.C., if you couldn't tell already from my accent. Our Washington office primarily covers the U.S. market, but also has responsibility for Canada, Mexico, and the entirety of Latin America. Historically, Latin America has played a smaller role in our engagement and policy work, but this podcast series is an attempt to change that, given the enormous potential that we think CBI members stand to gain across the multitude of markets in Latin America. I'm joined today by colleagues of mine who represent three of these Latin American governments: Chile, Uruguay, and Honduras, all of whom are focused on attracting overseas investment from British businesses. Our discussion today is going to focus specifically on the clean energy sector. Our new campaign series titled Seize the Moment focuses on the importance of both decarbonization and the global green economy as crucial to the UK's future economic success. Latin America has the potential to become a major player in this sector. In 2020, the renewable energy capacity in the region neared 280 gigawatts, an increase of 65% from the last 10 years. In 2019, nearly $12 billion US dollars were invested in clean energy across the region. So to introduce our panelists, we have Ms. Maria Jose Gonzalez, who serves as technical advisor at the Ministry of Industry, Energy, and Mining in the government of Uruguay, coordinating the environmental unit and leading on the Uruguayan hydrogen strategy. Next, we have Benjamin Malawenda, who serves as the unit head for new energy carriers at the Ministry of Energy in the government of Chile. From here, he leads the ministry's work on green hydrogen, coordinating regulatory developments and supporting international outreach. And finally, we have Mr. Jorge Chiham Anderson, who serves as a specialist in the management of natural resources at the Honduran Ministry of Energy, specializing in biomass. So what I'm going to do is get out of the way and allow the experts to do most of the talking, but I'll also have some questions on hand to facilitate discussion. Hopefully it's useful for everyone on here. So I'll start with Benjamin in Chile. In 2019, renewable sources represented more than 83% of Chile's energy production, and the government has a very ambitious strategy for green hydrogen that they hope eventually rivals the local mining sector at some point. So I guess my first question is, what is green hydrogen and why is it used? Why is Chile betting on it?
Well, that's a key question, John, isn't it? So hydrogen it's been called many things over time. It's gone through a lot of hypes and a lot of cycles. So, but we believe, and I guess the world is increasingly agreeing on that this time it's different, and that the time for hydrogen has come for many reasons, which I hope we can lay out today in this call. But hydrogen itself, it's a molecule, it's a gas, it's light, and it can be used in many ways. It's very versatile. That's the key characteristic of this molecule. It can be burnt as a fuel. It can be burnt in a turbine, in an engine, in any application. It can also be used to produce electricity directly through these devices that we call fuel cells, where it's combined with oxygen and it generates an electrical current. And it can also be used as a building block for many of everyday materials that we use and see all the time. So this computer that we have in front of us is full of hydrogen in many forms. Ammonia is produced from hydrogen, which in turn is used for fertilizer, which in turn grows our food that we eat every day. So hydrogen is everywhere in many, many, many forms. And historically, it's been produced from fossil fuels. So it's a gas that's been pretty dirty, so to say. Either sourced from natural gas, from coal, or from oil. But today, what's different, it's the pressure that we have to decarbonize, either through policy and regulation, either through customer preference, either through investor pressure. So, all of this momentum is forcing industries to look to ways to clean up their processes and their operations. And hydrogen, when sourced from renewable sources, might be the missing link to unlock these emissions reductions all over the economy. That's why many of these articles and reports and experts talk about a a hydrogen in the economy approach more than a hydrogen economy, because hydrogen will penetrate every aspect of our industries and economies if it is to fulfill its decarbonization promise and potential. So it is a gas, and it's a way of packaging renewable energy into a physical molecule. This renewable energy might be wind, might be solar, might be hydro. There are many ways of producing green hydrogen or clean hydrogen, let's say. The one that we're betting on here in Chile and in many parts of the LATAM region is green hydrogen, or hydrogen produced from water through electrolysis. So basically, you take a water molecule, which is H2O, and you divide it into hydrogen and oxygen through an electrical current. And thus, you create a clean fuel from clean electricity and water. So that's basically hydrogen in a nutshell. Why are we betting on it as a country? Basically, because of our renewable potential. So when you look at Chile and its geography, we have over 1,700 gigawatts of solar, wind, and hydropower potential. So that's many, many times over what we will be able to ever consume. So we have the potential to take that and use it to clean up our economy, but also to package it into some way. Hydrogen is one of them, and export it to countries that need to decarbonize but don't have enough renewable resources of their own. And the second key aspect is that it's a very good quality renewable potential. So we have a lot of sun in the Atacama Desert. We have a lot of wind in the Patagonia. And thus, our renewable power and our renewable hydrogen could achieve some of the, if not the most competitive prices on the globe.
Fascinating. And how would you say that the global market in this sector is developing across the globe, outside Chile, and how do opportunities that the Chilean government sees, and how does that kind of overlap with opportunities across the world?
So the opportunity for us as a country, and why are we devoting public resources and public policy into pushing this new sector? It's because we see it as a new source of growth, investment, jobs, and innovation in our country. So by 2050, our estimations is that this could be able to create a new industry in our country that would be worth between $30 and $50 billion in annual revenues. So and that might not sound as much as a sophisticated economy such as the United Kingdom, but for us, this is basically a new mining sector, which is the main driver of our economy. So that's why we're betting on it. And globally, there's been a consensus that this is one of the ways. It's one of the requirements for carbon neutrality by 2050, along many other measures. And companies, governments are betting on it strongly. European governments are investing a lot of money. Companies are investing a lot of money. We just traveled with a Minister of Energy through 6 countries in Europe a couple of weeks ago and met with over 150 companies, regulators, innovators, and so on. And we saw a lot of agreement and consensus that this is coming. We will probably not see a spectacular rise of hydrogen in the next 5 years because we're still in the piloting phases, technologies are being rolled out, we're understanding this, we are still hedging the risks. But by 2030, we will see a hydrogen economy lifting off in a manner that I think will be spectacular.
Interesting. And on that note, you mentioned just in this rollout period that we're experiencing right now, I had to turn it back to kind of an investment perspective for our membership's value. What kind of opportunities do you see in Chile's green hydrogen sector for international stakeholders to get involved at this stage?
Absolutely. So our strategy is basically divided into 3 phases. The first phase is roll out these technologies locally, pilot solutions in many, many different applications, generate the skilled workforce, generate the infrastructure, the regulation, and learn about this technology, to then go into an exporting phase in the second half of this decade, where we expect to see gigawatt scale facilities be deployed in the country for mainly for exports. What we are seeing from the private sector and what the analysis show is that the first carrier for hydrogen export is going to be ammonia, to then transfer and work our way to liquefied hydrogen or other carriers such as organic carriers. So the opportunities are vast. There are opportunities for innovation, for large-scale infrastructure investment, for providing services around this industry. And let's also hone into the local applications to maybe give more details on these opportunities. We see a lot of opportunity for the use of hydrogen in transportation, also in mining, also in oil refineries and ammonia production, you mean industrial chemical processes. And finally, opportunities for blending hydrogen into the gas grids. So in all of these different applications, we still need technology, we need experience, we need investment in infrastructure, and that creates a lot of opportunity for the private sector. And it's been responding. We have over 40 projects in Chile underway. Some are small, some are big, some are pre-feasibility, some are already going into the engineering study stage. And in this vast universe of projects and initiatives, there are many opportunities for a variety of companies to get returns, maybe smaller in the very early stages. But what they can gain if they get here first is a first mover advantage in gathering all the learnings from investing early, getting a competitive position, and also deploying the infrastructure that's going to be needed to transport, distribute, and store this gas.
Wonderful. And on that note, I'll have one final question for you, and that is, does green hydrogen have a high carbon emission reduction potential? You know, we mentioned that obviously we want to look at kind of, you know, opportunities for international stakeholders. A lot of our members are looking to make sure that their future investment portfolios are environmentally conscious and things. But I guess we can kind of come back to that in a second. Maybe in terms of a final concluding point. I guess if I can turn to Uruguay and Maria, I'll turn next to them. Uruguay has had a national energy diversification strategy in place since 2008. And, you mentioned that, over the last 4 years, 97% of electricity generated in Uruguay has come from renewable sources. This is actually fascinating from many perspectives. Uruguay in many ways has turned themselves into an energy exporter, and have launched a series of new exciting pilot projects to foster private investment in these areas in green hydrogen, as we were talking with Benjamin, but also just in hydrogen-based products beyond that. So I guess my first question for you would be, what are the attributes of being kind of such a hydrogen-based exporting country? Why is Uruguay ready to become, one of those leaders in this sector?
Okay, thank you very much for your question. It's a pleasure to be here and share with you the Uruguayan experience and perspective regarding hydrogen. So thinking in the attributes, I would like to highlight four of them. First of all, Uruguay is a small country, but with solid institution, with a high level of credibility from civil society. We have the main international rankings supporting the reliability of the country. So this factor, we think they are very important thinking in operation in the long term. We are a country with a strong respect from the rule of the game and the foundation of the economic activity. So year after year, the main credit rating agency have ratified Uruguay as in investment grade. So our country is also the world leading economy for investment according to the ESG index that take account on the quality of the governance, social and environmental factors. So that's one of the key elements. And thinking, for example, in our first energy transition, the one you were just talking about, we have an important promotion scheme for investment. So that's what one of the reasons why today we have so high renewable as part of the matrix. We continue thinking in decarbonizing in transport. That's one of our challenge. So we are promoting electric vehicles, and that's we are doing with in the context of the investments in the law. So they have special item for investment vehicle. And also zero custom duties for imported, for example, animes and tax reduction. So the country is institutionally and legally prepared to receive this kind of investment. We are really interested for sustainable investment. But maybe the second and relevant, you already tell it, it's our first energy transition. Today we have around 97% of the electric matrix is renewable, with 50% hydroelectric, 30% wind, 15% biomass, and 3% solar. So that give to us a really good potential, because we can have much more energy. We have very good energy today. We are a small country, as I said. We have 1.5 gigawatts, but the potential is 30 gigawatts onshore and more than 250 offshore. So we can produce much more energy than we are producing today, renewable energy. We have really a good capacity also to develop in solar energy near to 550 gigawatts. So, and we have an interesting element is the complementarity between our solar and wind energy. That give to us a high capacity factor near to 60%. That's a very good condition for electrolyzer that can allow a low cost of hydrogen production. So if we look at all this condition, we can think, for example, for 2030, we made a study the last year with the Port of Rotterdam to try to understand and to evaluate if Uruguay could be a good in good position to produce hydrogen. And this study was very interesting. We arrived to a level at cost of hydrogen near 1.3 euro per kilo in the electrolyzer plants. And if you are thinking in export possibility in the Port of Rotterdam, depending on the kind of carrier you can use, you can have close to 2.7, 2.8 euro per kilo. So the level cost of the hydrogen could be really another possibility. That's why Uruguay has good. And the last one, we are near the Atlantic Ocean. We have very good access routes, but we might have some challenge there to regarding to the infrastructure, but we have some condition really the access to this deep water also that can help to put the vessel and develop this kind of solution.
No, fascinating. Thank you for that very comprehensive overview. Similar to what I asked Benjamin, I think my next question would kind of lead to what types of sector investment opportunities in Uruguay, in these sectors that you've discussed, might be open for international investors at the moment, and what ones might be available in the next few coming years, as we mentioned, kind of the gradual path to this green transition. Maybe you could talk a little bit about kind of the different phases that we might see.
Okay. Regarding the different sector, first of all, thinking we have a decarbonize our electric matrix, but we don't have decarbonize our transport matrix. We are trying to do it with different elements, but one of them is the heavy-duty transport. We need to produce hydrogen for fuel cell electric vehicles and for other kind of use. Today, we are not a big country consuming, but we are in a region that can have a demand also of this kind of energetic. But also we are an agro-industrial region, Latin America, and we have the potential maybe to produce green fertilizer and maritime fuels also. Here, for our location, we know that the big vessel will need, they need to decarbonize, so they also need new, not only hydrogen, but also methanol, why not, or ammonia as fossil fuel. So that could be also a possibility here to develop. And maybe thinking in a long term, and the green steel, we have here some long life iron deposits, so we can add value to that, producing maybe green steel and export in better condition with more added value. So that's some of the condition, but principally I must think in export, thinking on export hydrogen for Europe, for Russia, for the countries who will need hydrogen because they don't have enough resources to produce green hydrogen itself. So we think our particular condition of a country and our availability of resource can be principally maybe for the export. Because of the scale of Uruguay, we are a small country, really 3 million inhabitants to understand this aspect. So, but we have the big potential to connect also all the region as a hub. So this, I think, also is a very good opportunity. We are thinking in, today we are preparing our strategy as Chile made it. We are already preparing that. But we are thinking in three different stages. First of one is make a pilot experience. We are today setting the conditions to have a competitive process to set a pilot project on heavy-duty transport and have the first medium-scale project maybe for ammonia or methanol for different projects. So we are preparing the setting some condition in the country and some in promotionally decrease to promote to bring here some investment to a bigger scale than the pilot one, and preparing also for at the future being as a exporter and exporter, as I said.
And finally, I'm going to turn now to opportunities in Honduras. This is a market that certainly holds a lot of potential in a handful of renewable sectors that we've already discussed today. So I'm going to turn the discussion to Mr. Jorge Shiham Anderson for some explanation and discussion about the Honduran market. Before this recording, Jorge, you highlighted in particular that Honduras provides opportunity for foreign investors in areas such as geothermal energy, hydroelectricity, biomass, bioenergy. So on that note, can you start by talking to us more about the bioenergy sector in Honduras? What are its major advantages, and what does the international biomass market look like today?
Honduras is a forest country. Almost 70% of the whole country is covered by forests. But is the forest until now is in a state, in a primitive state. It needs to be used to produce power energy. So the biomass is a big potential in our country, but we need to develop a big market of biomass for whole Central America and Mexico. So it's a great opportunity. And for the rest of the countries of the world, maybe we can export the biomass to Europe, but we need investors to come to our country to try to develop all the forest potential that we got in our country.
So how is Honduras looking to develop hydroelectricity in the country, particularly from an infrastructure perspective?
We have 19 watersheds in Honduras. Almost 10 that goes to the Atlantic Ocean and 9 that goes to the Pacific Ocean, and big rivers that has a lot of water. Until now, we need to improve the construction very fast of different kind of dams. One, to protect the country, because we have a lot of rain, of inundation. We have hurricanes almost every year. So there is a big potential for hydro power. So in working in the sense of the laws, we are not charging taxes to the companies. Everything is free of taxes. People can come here, and we have a developed law, very established legal laws that can help to try to develop who want to come and invest in our country.
Wonderful. Well, that's great to hear. And I guess my final question for you, Jorge, is similar to what you brought up about the regulatory environment in Honduras. You mentioned kind of the tax system as one of those issues that the Honduran government looks to address. But more broadly speaking, if it's hydroelectricity or other industries, how is Honduras working to overcome regulatory barriers that foreign investors who might be interested in Honduras might face? How is the government looking to address those challenges?
We sign with every investor power purchase agreement that are protected by law. And those power purchase agreement is a lot of articles that can give security to the investors, how long they can operate without taxes, how long they can operate providing power sources to the national power lines, and guarantee of the prices.
Thanks so much for joining us for the first edition of this podcast series with the CBI's International Trade Team. We'll have more of these in the works that inform UK business and explore opportunities about trade and investment in new markets across North and South America. For any questions about the international team's work or to get in touch with the representatives on this podcast, please contact John Bleed at john.bleed@cbi.org.uk. Thank you.